Any comments? The Torah describes different types of tzaras. One of them, of course, is a beged that's afflicted with tzaras. So the Ramban writes, "Va'beged kiyeh bo neged tzaras." Comes the Ramban, "Zei nenu b'teva klal, v'lo yehoyve ba'olam." This is not a natural kind of phenomena. This is not something that occurs on an ongoing, natural, cause and effect kind of basis. In a similar fashion, the Ramban says that even the goyim that affect the homes of the individual, also not a natural phenomenon. But the Ramban, Lishitoso, Avubios Yisrael Shleimim Lashem, when Klal Yisrael are in the highest level, the highest madrego, Yiye Ruach Hashem Aleim Tomi, then the Ramban indicates that the Hashua B'Shechina is doting on Klal Yisrael on an ongoing basis, permanently, lahamid gufam ubigdeyem ubateyem bemaretov, that their situation essentially is idyllic, almost a European kind of description that will clearly impact every aspect of our lives, physically, our clothing, our homes. The chasheyikra beechem em chet ve'avon yishave keor bipsoro o bebigdo bebeso. The hashkocha is so incredible, the divine providence, vis-a-vis Klal Yisrael, that the moment, chas v'sholom, there's any deviation, the Ramban says, right away, we will manifest in some form or fashion that deviation, as Chazal tell us, ein onesh belochet. In the ideal world, a person, God forbid, commits some sort of a transgression, right away, the punishment that will be meted out will be noticed. That's an incredible hashgacha. The fact that we are cognizant, the fact that we are aware of what Hashem is doing, and we can trace it, we can connect it directly to a specific chet. And that chet will manifest itself, the Ramban says, bivsoro, either in one's body, or bibigdo, in one's garment, or bibeso, laharos ki Hashem sar me'olam. It's an indication that Ribono Shel Olam has removed his hashgacha from us. An unbelievable madrega. It's not a madrega which applies under normal circumstances. When we are in Golos and Hester Ponim, it's a madrega when Klal Yisrael is Shleimim Hashem. This, of course, reflects the Ramban in Bechul Kesai and the Ramban elsewhere in his Perish Al HaTorah, who indicates when Klal Yisrael is in a state of Shleimus, then the Hashkocha is 1,000%, and then we will know Miyad anytime there was a deviation. Ad Kedei Kach, where the Ramban has a position, discussed by many of the Gedolei HaPoskim in Yerodea, that at that kind of stage, when we are in that level, there's no need for any kind of medical intervention. Normally, the Pasuk says, the Gemara says, in Baba Kama, Barapa Yerapi, Mikan Shenit the Rishus Lareit for the Rapis. But that's only on the circumstances when Klal Yisrael has undergone a diminution. When Klal Yisrael is in Golus, when Klal Yisrael is not on the level. But when we are at the highest of level, then there's no necessity for any doctors. The Rambam in Pirush Hamishnayim Sochim and many poskim in Shoronoch al holik and this Ramban don't agree with the position of the Ramban, but this is the Ramban Lishitoso. And as the Ramban says, that someone who's on the Madrega, so there's no need for any kind of intervention of a normal kind of levels such as medical intervention and other kinds of intervention. And that's what the Ramban here also writes. This position of the Ramban is expressed a number of times in Chumash. Ramban says, because that is the Mako, and where is this Mako? Where is this Hashkocha relevant? Only in Eretz Yisrael. That's where this kind of Hashkocha is extant. This kind of hashgacha is operative only in Eretz Yisrael. This again is the Ramban Lishitoso. Ramban many, many times in his Perish Al HaTorah, from Bereishis till Leini Kol Yisrael. Ramban expresses this any number of times, countless times, I would say, that there's a direct hashgacha of Hashem Yisbarach in Eretz Yisrael. Eini Hashem Elokecha Bo, Bereishis, Shona Varach Rishona, Dafka in Eretz Yisrael. There's no need for any kind of intermediaries, mediation. The hashgacha in Eretz Yisrael is of a direct nature. A direct local phone call as opposed to a long-distance phone call that exists vis-a-vis Chutz Aretz. So this is the Dafka Eretz Yisrael. And Ramban writes this And Achreim is Kedoshim. That's why in Eretz Yisrael, the Ramban says Eretz Yisrael, Ein Asoy Ve'el Asoy Ve'Avira. He quotes the Medrash Chazal. Specifically, three areas that we have to be extraordinarily careful. The three cardinal sins which a Jew is obligated to give up his life. Any deviation in these areas, Dafka Eretz Yisrael, Rachmana Litzlan, then the Ribbon Shalom responds forthwith. Immediate response on the body of Hashem is brought. So this is the Ramban, the Shitoso, his general position vis-a-vis Eretz Yisrael. Ramban Kayadua is of the opinion, he writes this very clearly, at the end of Bamidbar, that there's a chiv to a chemes aguf to live in Eretz Yisrael. There are those who contend that the Rambam argues with that. The Rambam shitas that it's a mitzvah kiyumis. Rambam clearly holds a mitzvah kiyumis. Vorashtem es arts vishapten bo. Pasuk says very clearly in Chumash. And Hagoyin HaMeshe Feinstein Tzal in a tshuva, very famous tshuva, notes this machlokes in the Rambam Ramban. But the Ramban clearly saw Eretz Yisrael in a completely different light than anyone else. Ramban sees Eretz Yisrael as being the very focus of our existence, a chiyuv, a chavas aguf for a Jew to live Eretz Yisrael. Just like there's a chiyuv to eat matzah, just like there's a chiyuv to go ahead and put up a mezuzah in a house, just like there's a chiyuv to take a dalaminim, there's a chavas aguf to live in Eretz Yisrael. Kach shitas Ramban, a mitzvah chiyuvis, and Ramban has different aspects to that. It's not the focus of my discussion. I'm just simply noting that this is the Ramban l'shitoso. The Ramban indicates, therefore, this kind of hashkocha is only in Eretz Yisrael. And the Ramban cites the Pesukim. And this again is the Ramban l'shitoso. The Ramban holds, this is striking. We would understand that if something is a chayves kaka, namely the chiyuv of Trumas and Maisis and the dinim of Shemitah, of Shvius, the Chulu, so those are chovos kaka. That's obviously specifically relevant there to sell. Ramban says no. Not correct, totally incorrect. And this is the Ramban l'shitoso as well, that even fulfilling a mitzvah of matzah or any other mitzvah that obviously has relevance to chutz aretz as well, there's no distinction between Eretz Yisrael and chutz aretz as far as these obligations. The mitzvah of matzah, the Torah says, b'erev techlu matzos, a mitzvah seh d'oraisa. One would think that that applies in chutz aretz to the same extent that it applies in Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban says, no. The entire kiyum mitzvah in chutz aretz is only a targil, only essentially a means to an end, a practice. Those who live in Chutz Lars have to practice fulfilling mitzvahs, not only mitzvahs that are obviously chavis haguf. Certainly, chavis kaka doesn't apply in Chutz Lars. But even a chavis haguf that would seemingly not distinguish between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Lars, as the Ramban in Chutz Lars, it's only a means to an end, a hechatimtza, in order to learn how to perform that mitzvah when one makes aliyah, when one comes to Eretz Yisrael. So the Ramban here says that, again, this hashkocha, related to Negoyim, is not because it's a Heves Kaka. This phenomena can only be relevant in Eretz Yisrael, has no relevance in Chutz Aretz. You have the 14 years, 7 years of Kibush, 7 years of Chiluk. That's when this halach is applicable. After Kibush V'Chiluk, Klal Yisrael was settled in Eretz Yisrael. So at that point, there's a Hashuas HaShchina, and the Ramban continues. So even though the Torah mentioned this concept, Ki Savor Eretz Kana Shani Noseh Lachem Lachuzastem, and the Torah context is the context of Batim, Ramban continues. Even though the Torah does not explicitly say it vis-a-vis nigei begodim, Ramban extends this, you saw this principle to begodim as well. There's no need for the Torah to exclude chutz aretz. Such a phenomena cannot possibly be operative outside of Eretz Yisrael. This is etz balokim. Ramban used the lashon that the Torah has in reference to the makom of kinim. Etz balokim. That's what Paro and his sorcerers. That's how they responded. This also is etz balokim. ולפיכך הצבועים בידי שמיים מטעמים כדי רב שמעון. So the Ramban is amazing. But it's not just the Ramban. It's Rishit HaSaramim as well in the middle of the page in Hilchos Tumas Saras. The last Rambam in Hilchos Tumas Saras has an astounding comment. And this Rambam also is absolutely fascinating. This is going to be the focus of our attention this evening in the context of Psukim that we're going to examine in a short while. There the Rambam writes, the end of Tumas Saras, he tells you that this Shinoi of Tzaras that occurs obviously to Begodim, to Batim, Eino Mimin Hogu Shalaylam. This is not something which is a natural phenomenon. Ella, Oisu Pele Hoya B'Yisrael. This is a wondrous event. Kidei Lazhiro Miloshon Hara. This is a Gemara in Erchin. The Gemara says in Erchin that Negoyim, these type of afflictions come about for a number of reasons, and one of them is Lashon Hara. Someone who speaks Lashon Hara, Chas V'Shalom, Mishtanos, Kiros, Beso. First, the walls of his home are going to be affected. Im Chazabo, Yitore Habayis. If he does tshuva, so then that situation will be hopefully remediated. Im Amad Berisho, Achehut HaTzabayis, Mishtanin Klei Ha'or Shebeveso, Shu Yoshe V'Shochev Aleim. It's going to get closer and closer. It begins first with the walls of his home, and then subsequently he gets closer to the sleepwear that he uses. Im chazabo yitaru v'im amar b'risho ashi yisarfu mishtanim habgodim sh'olav. His clothing is affected. Im chazabo v'tiaro v'im amar b'risho ashi yisarfu mishtanim ayro v'itzfareh. Chas v'sholom, he himself will be physically impacted. Namely, he'll be afflicted with tzaras. V'im muvdo u'mefursom levado. Mitzrayim, of course, Tommy Yikra, the Torah says, Mechutz HaMachane Moshovo. He has to leave all the machanos. He's isolated. He's quarantined. He's in Bidud. That's the Bidud, which is a halachic Bidud. Ashelo Yisaseg Besichas HaRishoyim Shu'al Leitzonis V'Lashon Hara. And he has to obviously try to avoid two things, Leitzonis and Lashon Hara. The Alin Yenzeh Matzib HaTorah V'Yomer Hishomer B'nei Gatzaras. What is the Torah telling us? Look what happened to Miriam. Miriam was a Navi. The Torah describes her. Vatikach Miriam hanaviya achei sarah nasatei biyodo. The psukim b'shalach. Shedibra. She spoke about her brother. Be'achia. She'aisa gdola mimena b'shonim. She was older. So often that older siblings think they have the right to more or less direct traffic in their homes. She's the one who essentially raised Moshe Rabbeinu. She sustained them. She saved them. And the sikna be'atzma l'hatzilo min hayam. She put herself a life in danger to save him. V'hilo dibra b'gnuso. She didn't speak lashon hara against Moshe Rabbeinu. So the machlokas of Rishonim, what exactly was the ched? When the Torah says the end of our Yisrael, but the David Miriam the Aaron bin Moshe alodoso yishach hushis hashel lakach yishach hushis lakach. And what do they say? Harakach and Moshe diber Hashem alo gamanu diber. What was the ched? So most Rishonim and Chazal seem to indicate this as well. The ched was lashon hara, but the Rambam has a different interpretation of that entire event. The Rambam then in the next few words tells you what the ched was. Elam Toaso Shehishvaso Bishar Neviim. What was the chet? The chet was she compared Moshe Rabbeinu to Shar Neviim. And that itself, the Rambam has actually two ikrim. In the Yud Gimel ikrim of the Rambam, he has one ikar Shalkel Menabi Yisvenei Hodom, one ikar that HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicates with human beings. There's a concept called Nevuah. And the other ikar of the Rambam, of course, is that the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu is sweet, generous. Pe'al Pe'a Dabebo Umar Vela Vichidois Yisvenas Hashem Yabit. The Ram interprets those psukim at the end of Baruch Shem, drawing an analogy between the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, which is unique, which is distinct, which is completely unparalleled and different than any other kind of nevuah, and the nevuah of Shar Neviim. And that's one of the ikri adas, one of the ikrim of the Rambam. Now, Soloveitchik Zatzal noted that the mocker for this is the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara actually discusses the Mishnah has in Sanhedrin, talks about Navi Shekavash Nebuoso, And the Mishnah writes, a Navi Shekavash Nebuah, who squelches Nebuah, Chayim Misa B'Neshamayim. The Gemara asks, Tenkashi, what's the Mokar? The Navi Shekavash Nebuah, the Gemara quotes a Pasuk in Amos. The Navi says in Amos, Ki Lo Yaseh Hashem Elokim Dabar, Ki Imgolo Sodo El Abad HaNavim. So you read the Pasuk literally, the Pasuk means Hashem will not do anything unless he reveals the Sod L'Nevim, Lashon Rabbim. And the Mashmos of the Gemara is that every Navi who is contemporary of another Navi is aware of the mission that HaKadosh Baruch Hu designated Navi X, even Navi Y is aware of that mission. That's not what he's deputized to do. That's not his mission. He has his own mission, his own shlichus, but he's aware of what every other Navi is supposed to do. That's based on the Pasuk in Amos, to the Yaseh Hashem Elokim Dabar, Ki Imgolo Sodo El Avadov HaNaviim. And therefore, that was the taina of Miriam and Aaron. Moshe Rabbeinu, Pirish Mishra, the Gemara in Shabbos, Moshe Rabbeinu separated from his wife. And Ram quotes this Allah as well in Mishnah Torah, because the Torah tells us in the context of Matan Torah, the Klali had to prepare, it's a Mishnah in Shabbos, the whole studio in Masechah Shabbos. They had to prepare before Matan Torah. They had to separate from their wives. And then after Matan Torah, there's a, once again a heter to return to their normal family lives. But what about Moshe Rabbeinu? V'ata po amodi modi. Says the Rambam, nikshua daito l'tzur alomin. The Moshe Rabbeinu was not able to return to normal family life. He was now connected to Hashem Yisbarach, and Maimon HaSinai and Navi par excellence. Moshe Rabbeinu became the Navi par excellence. That's the Rambam writes in Hosea Seri HaTorah. The Nebuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, even though it was a process, at one point he was a tyron, the Nebuah called Rashi. He was a tyron, T-Y-R-O-N, a novice, a beginner, but he obviously grew and developed and cultivated the level of the Nebuah that he ultimately came to, where he became Navi, he spoke to Moshe, Asher Yidor Hashem Panim Oponim. That's the Pasha Kisisa and the Pasha B'yad Balei. So the way the Rambam interprets the Pesukim, he writes over here, what was the Torah Samiria V'Aram? She Yishvosel to Sham Neviim. They compared Moshe Rabbeinu to Sham Neviim. And their argument was, HaRakach B'Moshe Diber Hashem Adar Gamanu Diber. We're also Neviim. V'Haraya, Miriam is called the Navi of the Torah, as I mentioned in the Pasuk earlier. Namely, V'Tikach Miriam HaNavi Achei Saran Esatek B'yadah. She has the status of a Navi. Aaron, in the context of the beginning of Sefer Shemais, Aaron is going to accompany Moshe Rabbeinu to carry out the Makos, has the status of a Navi. Aaron is also a Navi. The Gemara has in Sanhedrin, in the first parak, in the Navi referring to Aaron HaKohen, so both of them have the status of the VM. And if the sort of the Gemara Sanhedrin is correct, they should have been apprised of what Moshe Rabbeinu did. That's the sword that comes out of the Pasuk in Amos. And they're not aware of it. So how could it be? How could Moshe Rabbeinu separate from his wife? That's during the Nevuah, when he had no right to do so. They should have been apprised. They should have been aware of it. So the answer to the Rebbeinu Shalom to that query on their part is the following. Yes, you are correct. That sword of Gemara Sanhedrin is a Yesod Godel, namely, that every Navi who's a contemporary of other Nevi'im is aware, has a prescience to the Nevuah that's in effect conferred upon Navi X, Navi Y is also aware of it. However, that's true regarding Kol Nevi'im Shevaylam, Chutz Moshe Rabbeinu. With the exception of Moshe Rabbeinu, his Nevuah is sweet, generous. His Nevuah is distinct. The way the Biskrov, the Maril Diskin, Rabbi Shua Leib, the way he defines it, in his tshuva, a very beautiful tshuva, Moshe Rabbeinu has crystal clarity in terms of the nevuah that he has. Unlike other nevi'im who don't have that kind of crystal clarity, it goes through a masach, goes through a plastic, goes through a screen. It's not exactly 1,000% exactly the same as it emerged from the Ribbono Shel Olam. But essentially, Moshe Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks, Mitzach Groino Shel Moshe. That's what Miriam Ba'aron were told. And this is what the Rambam writes over here. The what was their toast? What was her toast? She shvostel the shanavim. It's not just the chiddush of the Rambam, it's the many rishonim. Rabban also echoes this. The Mari Mitz echoes this. The Rosh Haran echoes this. Many rishonim point this out. Yes, present makom badun. I'm just saying over what I heard from Rav Sheber, and that's who in Sanhedrin. He said it in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, based on that pasuk, but he wanted to, and I heard this in different occasions. So I'm just using that and underscoring, underlining what the Rambam says here was the chet of Miriam, not Lashon Hara. not Lashon Hara. On the contrary, we see that she was very protective of her brother. She's the one who put her life in Sakana to save him. And yet, because of she's taken to task. Why is she taken to task? Because of this, not because of Lashon Hara. But the Rambam goes on here. He's speaking about Lashon Hara. That's really the focus of the Rambam. But what you are indicating is that there is a big discussion about this. It's not supposition. But this is how we interpreted that Gemara. The Briskis interpreted the Gemara that way. Others have a different interpretation, but I'm just presenting this risk interpretation. The Kitzur, the Rambam goes on to say, the Hulo Hikpin al Kol Advarim Ha'elo. It's fascinating, the juxtaposition of the pasuk that follows upon the heels of this, when she compared Moshe to Shan Nevi'im, and she felt that Moshe Rabbeinu erred till Hashem told her, no, you're mistaken. His Nevuah is markedly different than the other Nevi'im. So the Rambam goes on to say that Moshe was not Makpid. Often people think that if the person I speak Lashon Hara about is not Makpid, there's nothing to worry about. That's totally incorrect. And here he says, Rambam, how do we know that Moshe was not Makpid? Because right away he says, Miyad, the context right over there in Balo Yisrael. Miyabo became Miyad Nensha B'Tzaras. What's the Miyad Nensha B'Tzaras? Someone upon Madriga, this fits what the Ramban said above, Miyad, she's punished. She's the Balas Madriga at the highest of levels, Miriam Hanaviyah, and as a result, Hashem Miyad punishes her. Kal B'chemer, and now these are the Rambam I'm going to speak about. Kal B'chemer of the Adam HaRishoyim HaTipshim. Very strong language of the Rambam. People who are wicked, people who are foolish. Shemarbim B'daber, Gdeilus V'Niflois. They say anything, whatever comes out of their mouth. L'fitoch Roy L'mishir Reitzim L'chaber Erechaisov. Someone who's careful about his way of life. You should not interact with those kinds of people. People who have no control. The Balei Musa say, the Pasuk in Mechukas. The whole Kli Asher in Tzomit Pasuk Lolov Tomiyu. A Kli that doesn't have something to close it. It doesn't have a mouth that closes. That Kli is Pasuk. Someone who just speaks freely in an uncommon kind of fashion, in a cavalier way. That person, Rachman al-Islam, is Tomei. And the Rambam says, once you keep away from such individuals, that one should not be caught in their net. This is the approach of people who are mockers and scorners. First, they speak words that are... The word Havai has many translations. Rambam Hilchos Talmud Torah, when he talks about the question of women, women in Talmud Torah, women are technically part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, it's a Gemara Kedushin, Mishinantul Manecha V'Lodin Nosecha, but women are still obligated, the way the Magen Avraham writes, and Mishnah Berurah quotes it, in areas of Halacha that apply to them. They have to know Hilchos Shabbos Al Buryo, they have to know other areas as well, unquestionably. Then Rambam writes over there that, and this is a Prisha in Yeridei, Hilchos Talmud Torah, who's Medayik, Lashon Rambam, Rob Noshim will see us Divrei Torah Divrei Havai. That's Lashon Hara. Most women will take Divrei Torah and bring it to Divrei Havai. Rabbi Meiselman interprets that Rambam in the following way. Of Soloveitchik's nephew, his book that he wrote on women in Jewish law in the 70s. He's supposed to write a sequel. I don't know where it is. But anyway, he writes over there that since a person is not devoted to the study of Torah fully, 24/7, so all that person will be voted different to the rabbi because he doesn't have sufficient background, requisite knowledge. It applies to both men and women. But I'm using the Lashon Hara, a woman's part of the Talmud Torah, both seals different to the rabbi. They will understand the Torah in a mistaken way, erroneously. So here also, Leitzim HaRishoyim, first they some speak Divrei Havai, they have no foundation to what they're saying. Kein Shenem HaVekol Ksil Berek Dvorim. When we talk kach boyin the sabre b'du tzadikim, now Ram describes a process. First, you speak foolishly, and then you speak against great tzadikim. In shenema, the Ram calls tzukim, and then he says, "We talk kach yilam hergel v'dabre b'neviim." They're unfortunately going up the ladder, actually going down. After they speak against tzadikim, they speak against neviim. Plus, he's doyge b'divrayim. In shenema, v'yu malim malach elokim. They can be led to, on the primrose path, to kfira. They can actually deny the existence of Hashem is Barak. In Shenema, I quote, took him again, and the Ram goes on, שגורמת להם ישיבת קרונוס וישיבת כנסייה של עם הארץ. ישיבת בתי משתורס עם שייסי שייכה. People have nothing to do with their lives. What do? They play shuffleboard all day. Some shuffleboard is a good sport. I remember as a little kid when we used to go to the Bronx Zoo. So there were people on the way, generally octogenarians, retired people, playing shuffleboard. But they could play the Agatsa Tog all day playing shuffleboard. Whatever else they do over there, playing cards. So that's Yeshivas Kronos, Yeshivas Knesset, Shlame Yaretz, Yeshivas Batim Mishnos, and Shanishet Sheikha. People are in all the pubs. Abel Sichas Kshere Yisrael. What do wonderful Jews do? Ain't other but the return of the Chochmah. This is the Rambam. Many, many times the Rambam has this idea. He has the Hilchos Tshuva, he has the study at Tehra. Many, many times the Rambam speaks of two things that a person should acquire: Chochmah, knowledge. The Rambam's concept of knowledge was markedly different than what most people have a concept of knowledge. And Divrei Torah. The Figur HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the Rambam, that's a person who's going to be under the eyes of Hashem Yisbarach. And the Rambam calls Sukkim. By action of Hashem Yishma, by Yikos of Sivri called the fun of Ezer al Yodar and Mizakai Sunba. The Rambam calls his Pasuk. Okay, so this is the Rambam. And now, in light of this Rambam, we're going to examine Sukkim on page number one in the context of the Pasha of Tzoras. The general subject of Mesera, Kayadu Alachem, is very technical and very complex. A number of times I've attempted to learn Mishnayos of the Goyim, not very successfully, to be quite honest. But still, it's Divrei Torah, V'Lilman HaNitzar, V'Daiti Tzorah. So I'm going to concern myself right now with the process of purification of Mitzorah, as the Torah outlines it in the above text. There are three korbanos that the Torah is obligated to offer. So we'll examine the text. I put the korbanos in brackets. One is the korban Hashem. Hashem is brought for a chet that a person commits. The second is the chatos, which again is a korban often following a transgression. There are chilukim between the chatos and an Hashem. Most chilukim, hilchasim, halachi chilukim, and there are also chilukim that are founded upon different psychological verities and philosophic verities and spiritual verities. That's embedded in the Ramban, in the beginning of Vayikra. It starts with the chilul between Hatas and Asher. I wrote a piece on this, and hopefully it will appear in Shai Lo'avi, my second volume in Vayikra. And finally, the Oyla, which is generally not associated with any specific chet. Oyla, the Gemara says, goes on Hirhur, Avera, Napi Mikai Menasei. Question is, why do we need three korbanos? Why does the Mitzvah have to offer up three different sacrifices? And what's even more fascinating, and these are the psukim that are found here in the Parsha, the Torah has, and this is what I'm referring to, in Perek Yud Dalet, psukim Yud Ches, Yud Tes and Chav. Sort of in the middle of the page, I'll just read the psukim over there. V'asa ha-kohen es ha-chatos, v'chiper al ha-mitahe v'tumaso. Look at that language. The Kohen does the chatos and affects atonement for the person who's purifying himself. The Torah continues. And then the Kohen is going to be offered. But before that, the Torah uses a lashon, the chiper olam hakohen lifnei Hashem. And then at the end of this, the elo hakohen esayla v'samim chamizbeta v'chiper olam hakohen mitahir. There are three different expressions that are used over here. One is v'chiper olam hakohen lifnei Hashem. The second is v'chiper al hamitah v'tumaso. And the third is v'chiper olam hakohen mitahir. So my fellow Shalom asked me, what is the nature of these three expressions? Why does the Torah use three strictly different expressions to describe the threefold tripartite kind of atonement that's taken place on the part of the Mitzvah? So the Ramban that we just read and the Rambam that we just read, in general, we straight and generally assume that the Ashram is an atonement, is a kapara for the original sin of slander, Lashon Hara. And Chazal tells us that Lashon Hara leads to Tzoras. That's the Gemara Ne'erchin. That can lead to some full leprosy. The Chatos is again an atonement for the possibility of a new transgression. Namely, what's the leper? Generally, Tzoras is leprosy. That's how it's defined. It's not leprosy. How can I tell you? I don't see it happen. but a lengthy essay. It's found actually in the Perish al Torah. It's also found in the Shuvos Malamed Ha'Yo. It's also found in the series of essays that he authored. And he brings many, many rights of all Mishnayos and Shas that Tzaraas and leprosy are not Hanuach. Not discussing that right now. He wrote multiple essays on this topic. But the Chattas is an atonement for the possibility of a new head, namely some form of verbal reaction on the part of the Mitzvah to his suffering. Because the Mitzvah is Bobad Yeshem B'chutz HaRachem HaShavah. The only thing I can say is that perhaps that those of us who are quarantined for a year maybe have some degree of this experience. Not really, but to a certain extent. May this kind of be due to give us a sense of what that's all about. We assume that his suffering and his subsequent isolation affects him to the degree that he speaks out against Hashem Yisbarach and questions the justice of Hashem Yisbarach. That's an assumption. And then finally, the Olah doesn't atone for any chet, as I mentioned, the nature of the government Olah, but rather is to be mitarim so he can return to his home and to normal life. This is how the Ramban understands these three korbanos that the Torah describes. The Netziv in the Hamek Dover, which is a very significant and really seminal sefer that must be studied very, very carefully, he also deals with this issue. More or less, he follows the upon the heels of the Ramban, except for one point. His analysis of the purpose of the Eila is somewhat different. According to the Netziv, the Eila is always intended as an atonement for transgressions associated with thought processes. That's the Lashon Ramban Zochim, beginning of Zochim, Yehurei Avera. That's where the Eila is going to be brought. The thought is generally the precursor of action or speech, Seif Maaseh, the Machshav HaTchila. And the Eila is to atone for that transgression. That's what he writes here in Perek Yudalid, the Netziv in the Hamek Dover. So, but as I said, there are three expressions here that my father was sorely troubled by the three expressions, and they seem to be three totally different expressions. The first one is the Chiper Alav HaKoyim L'Vnei Hashem. The second is the Chiper Al HaMitayim Mitum Maso. And the third is the Chiper Alav HaKoyim V'Toher. So I didn't have an answer. So I asked my Rebbe, HaGoyim Datzido Katavsky Zatzal. This is probably about in 1967, I asked the discussion. Because we used to learn with my father, we used to learn the Parsha, Shnayim Vechot Targum, and we asked, not we, my father, Al Vashom, asked many, many kashas. And this is one of the questions he asked that I could not answer. Most of the questions I couldn't answer. But this one I found to be intriguing. So I asked my Rebbe, so anyway, I'm going to see Dov Keratapsky, so I'll refer me to this Rambam in Tumas Tzaraas and Perek Tzayin that we just read a moment ago. So we'll just review it again. So quickly, and then we'll attempt to connect the dots. That's what he did in order to answer the discussion. The Rambam says, he talks about that there's a derech, how Rishoyim, how they operate. First, they indulge in nonsensical words, divrei havai, that are meaningless. And from there, unfortunately, they begin now to descend, to talk against tzaddikim. Then beyond that, they speak about against Nevi'im. They cast doubts on the words of Nevi'im, and finally, Rachon Litzlan, they can become kufrim. They can talk against Hashem Yisbarach, talk against God, and deny his existence. Well, this is a free translation of the text of the Rambam that we read. But what's immediately evident in my Rebbe, we have to pinpoint here the element of Lashon Hara, slander, that's defined over here. So let's now begin to do so. The characteristic element of slander is found, said my Rebbe, in the second stage. When the Rambam says that the wicked begin to talk against tzaddikim, the righteous people, when the threshold of slander. The expression tzaddikim could refer to anyone who's in the receiving end of all these darts, of slander. But what's important to note is that the stage preceding this one is really the cause of the whole process. And the stage following is the ultimate result. In other words, slander is caused by something, and slander leads to something. There are, shall we say, three stages. Number one, the cause. Number two, the effect. And number three, the result. Those are the three stages described here by the Rambam. So the Rambam goes on to say that what is the first stage? The first stage is the cause. The second stage is the Lashon Hara, the slander. The third stage is the ultimate result. And all this, he said, could be explained in very simple psychological terms. Lashon Hara against tzaddikim and the Rambam calls Lashon Hara, doesn't begin there. And the Chafetz Chaim writes about this Ba'arichus in a classic sefer that has to be studied very carefully. Shmiras HaLoshin, unbelievable what the Chafetz Chaim's analysis, a psychological analysis of Lashon Hara that fits very well into the Rambam. Lashon Hara generally begins with, and I'm in the presence of people who are far more competent than I am in this area. I'm just examining the Rambam. It begins with self-deprecation. When a person loses faith in their own self-esteem, in their own stature, often they feel the need to strike out against others. They feel that's how they're going to shore up their own lack of self-esteem. By the way, Hagoyin, Dr. Rav Avram Tversky Zatzal, also writes a lot about this in several of his absolutely beautiful and fundamental works. And this can be stated in many different ways. A person sees nothing good in himself, doesn't feel good about himself, doesn't see any value, doesn't have any sense of self-esteem. It becomes highly improbable he's going to see good in others. And conversely, my appreciation of the good in others is predicated upon the recognition of good in myself. And this is clear in many, many statements in Chazal. Chafetz Chaim Zatzal points this out, and others as well. The famous Mishnah Pirkei Avos, Ezeu Mechubad HaMechabedes Abrios. Who is honored? Someone who honors others. Expresses the idea, only the individual who recognizes his own sense of kavod, his own sense of honor and self-esteem, his own worth, his own axiological value, only he can give honor and respect to others. As a matter of fact, I saw one of the Mefarshim that he writes that the Ruach Chaim of Chaim HaLoshin has a beautiful parish on Pirkei Avos that's good to study carefully, similar to the Nefesh HaChaim, which is generally more studied. At least two of the Sharim and Nefesh HaChaim are studied, but Ruach Chaim and Pirkei Avos is outstanding, really just wondrous, a wondrous parish. He suggests that only such an individual can afford to give honor to others. The one who doesn't recognize his own value is going to slander others. That's what the Chafetz Chaim writes like that as well. So the Torah text, which really expresses the ultimate in social perfection, are the Psukim and Kedoshim in Perek Yutes, which we're all familiar with. And the Rishonim see in those Psukim a continuum, literally one continuum, and the Psukim begin and end with one segment following upon the heels of the other. Lo Seilech Rachil Ba'amecha. So it begins by speaking about Rechilus, spreading Lashon Hara. Lo Saman Al Dam Re'echa, Ani Hashem. Lashon Hara can clearly lead to Lo Saman Al Dam Re'echa. Lo Sisna Asachichel B'Vavecha. Someone who says Lashon Hara can be led to, God forbid, Sina Shabalei V'Akosim B'Dabra, the Gemara says. So what should one do? It has to emerge. It has to be formulated. It has to be articulated. If I have an issue with someone, I should approach that individual. Of course, do it gingerly. Where the Gemara says in Erechin, do it properly. Yiptoi chocho. Rabbeim used to translate, hocheach tochiach, without ibitzeigen. You have to convince the other person that you have a basis of what you're saying. Otherwise, you have no right to say it. But instead of saying it to the ganze welt, say to the individual that you have an issue with. Well, he sees of chet. You shouldn't go beyond that. Lo sikom, lo sitom amecha. As for Shalom, it shouldn't be led to nikama, to netira, revenge, you're taking a grudge, as Rashi comments over here. And it's clear that someone who takes revenge or bears a grudge betrays a weakness which does nothing to elevate his own stature in his own eyes. So Rashi comments over here as well. In Kadesh and Perek Yutes. And what should be the underlying motivation? So the Ramban and Rishonim learn this is all one long continuum. One falls upon the heels of the other. And that's the yisod that I'm mentioning now. One has to develop, and that's the most important yisod in life. And Chazal knew it, and psychiatrists know it, and psychologists know it, namely, one has to have a sense of self-esteem. Every human being, every single person has what to offer, has talents that HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed him with, and should recognize that, and it should be realized. So the ability to act independently and to utilize the kochas hanefesh that I have shows strength and steadfastness and purpose. Mashen came when a person attempts to take revenge and bearing a grudge, that simply indicates a weakness in relating to others. The problem with the pasuk "Ve'ahavta l'reacha kamocha" is more in the phrase "kamocha" than "l'reacha." To legitimately love yourself is a prerequisite to loving your neighbor. First, the person has to have ava atzmis, has to have the sense of self-esteem, and if one has that, then one will be able to view the other individual in a proper kind of way. So, going back to the Rambam now, and now let's examine the evolution of this Rambam from a psychological standpoint, and with this will be the questions that we asked earlier on the three expressions that the Torah uses. The Rambam describes a group of individuals with no purpose in life, discussing divrei havai, words of nonsense, nonsensical words, not concerned with important matters, wasting their time on things that are absolutely asinine, ridiculous. And that tends to an immeasurable lowering of one's estimate of oneself, a lack of self-esteem, and that will lead to lashon hara, that will lead to slander. And it's quite understandable that even an element of kina will also creep into the slander. Those are the psukim that I just read here in Kedoshim Perek Yutes. Namely, the Torah has a continuum that began, as I pointed out, with Lo Sedech Rochel Ba'amecha, Lo Samar Al Dam Re'ech Ani Hashem, and then that will go further, as the Torah mentioned, Lo Sikom, Lo Sitor, but the ultimate underlying element is Ve'ahavta L'recha Kamecha. And it's quite understandable that this element of kinah will creep into it as well. After all, a tzaddik is concerned with important matters, Dvarim Ba'im Dibru Mishal Olam. A tzaddik is concerned about the welfare of the society, the welfare of the world, the welfare of every individual. He's in the mainstream of life. He's involved in creative activity, productive activity. So it follows, therefore, that a rasha has to resort to lashon hara, to slander, in order to deprecate and depreciate the other person's value, in order to essentially negate anyone else other than himself. So it's now only a step from the inferiority complex of the rasha to an overemphasized superiority complex to cover up his weakness. It's only a step from slander, lashon hara, against the tzaddik in an attempt to build himself up, not in a meaningful, constructive kind of way, but an unhealthy, cancerous access of pride, bordering on hubris and arrogance. And that in turn is tantamount to setting up a form of avodah zara, as Chazal say, or at least to deny the existence of God. So in effect, we have a cycle that the Rambam is describing. A vicious cycle, a psychological continuum that the Rambam here is focused on. Self-deprecation has turned into lashon hara. Lashon hara has turned into idolatry, into avodah zara. And this appears to be the Rambam's analysis of lashon hara. The Rambam is telling us here, what are the shorashim? What are the roots of lashon hara? The Rambam is telling you what the ched is, the cause, the effect, and the ultimate result. That's how the Rambam describes here at the end of Tumas Saras. So now, when we turn to the process of Tara, now we can understand it's astounding how the process of Tara so closely follows the structure that the Rambam here articulated. First, the Torah say that the Mitzvah has to offer an Asher. An Asher is more demanding than a Chatas. That's the Ramban in the beginning of Vayikra. The Ramban is the one who underscores the chilukim between Asher and a Chatas. But essentially, that's offered as an atonement for the ultimate result. The ultimate result being the crime against Rachmana Litzlan, against Hashem Yisbarach. Kofer, the denial of the existence of God that follows according to the Rambam upon the heels of Lashon Hara. That's why we understand now why the pasuk uses the Lashon, the Chiper Olav HaKayin Lifnei Hashem. That's the transgression against Hashem Yisbarach that's stressed here, and that requires kapara, that requires atonement. The Torah then goes on. V'yosu HaKayin Es HaChatas, then the Chatas, which is the usual carbon that's brought b'shoyeg, the person brings the carbon chatas, we have amazing to be chayy koris. That's the carbon that's intended as an atonement for the express transgression of lashon hara. And that's why the Torah now says, v'chiper al hamitaher mitu maso. Namely, what does the chatas do? It affects the atonement for the person who's purifying himself from his impurity. It relates specifically to the chet, to the transgression that stands at the center of the entire drama. And now we approach the most significant element of the purification process. If this process is going to make any sense, the whole process of Tara at all, and in particular, if it's going to act in some way as a preventive against a recurrence of the same cycle, then the problem must be attacked at the Shoroshim. We have to attack the roots of the problem. And the roots of Lashon Hara lies in the self-image that a person has of himself, the poor self-image, the lack of self-esteem. And therefore, it's now necessary to build him up, to teach him his own worth, to teach him his own value, to show him that he has talent, that he has esteem, that he has stature, that he has a purpose. So the third garban, the Eilah, has as its purpose the elevation of the individual. It's intended to show the Metzayru the possibility that he can come close to Hashem Yisbarach, that he can once again return, he can give meaning and purpose to his life. He's elevated to Hashem Yisbarach, making the Lashon Hara totally unnecessary and perhaps even impossible. And that's what the pasuk says at the end: the chipe olah hakayin b'tahir. Three different lashonos describe a process that are reflected in the three karbanos that I mentioned: the karban Hashem lifnei Hashem, the karban chatas al mitayer, and finally the chipe olah hakayin b'tahir. That's how my Rebbe, I'm going to see Dr. Topsky Zatzal explain these three expressions, but the Yesod HaDvarim is that which we mentioned, namely the Rambam's analysis of this entire phenomena of individuals who have no appreciation. And that Chazal understands to mean every person has absolute infinite value. Every person has unique talents. Just like the physiognomy of each individual is different, so too their deos are not identical. Everyone has incredibly unique talents. The Rebbe Shalom created each person, the Tzelem Elokim, Halavai, we should recognize the Tzelem Elokim that each one of us has, and Mitz Hashem, use it wisely, judiciously. La'agdil Torah, la'adira, amen. Yes, yes, I'm listening. That needs analysis. What are the chilukim between the dal and the regular person? I mean, lo yechal lasod zeh achshav. Nikach ol chasisha, avo chashav yazeh kvar kama shanim.